Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. Let me start by saying that if I sound funny, and don't crack up that you always sound funny, no. But if I sound funny, that's because about 2 hours or so ago, I'm starting to get sick, I think. My nose is starting to run, my eyes starting to run. I can't really hold my head down, and so I'm trying to take some countermeasures here, and so I might sound a little off, but that's because I'm trying to keep from having my eyes and nose run to the point where I can't function. What a way to start a show, but I thought that was necessary. Okay, we're back. And this is our third week for our Teacher Appreciation Month. And at some point, it may sound like we're not showing appreciation for our teachers. Never the case. In fact, when it sounds like we are not showing appreciation, I think we are showing the ultimate appreciation for our teachers. Since we are teachers, and we have a long history of being teachers, we love support teachers. When I say love support, I'm not using that in, like, all teachers are great, and for all times, I'll say, no, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about what I mentioned last week. You know, those teachers who truly are in the profession to nurture, build relationships with their students, and provide some type of encouragement, guidance to their students to not only get the best they can out of the education that they're being given, but also to make them, help them on the road or keep them on the road of becoming good human beings, good people. That, to me, is what being a teacher is really about. You know, we can teach the ABCs, the math, and what have you, but I was drawn to the profession because, as I have said many times, my mother was my first teacher, and what she brought was not just the teaching of the ABCs, that she used to call the letters and the numbers and what have you. But she brought that nurturing. And you said, yeah, well, that's what parents do. That's what mothers, that's what fathers do. They are the nurturers. But she brought it both as a parent, but also as a teacher. And I remember, oh, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago now, one night I was sitting down and doing my all-nighter thing and had this great idea of what makes a teacher a great teacher. And I started with looking at my mother, as I said, as my first teacher. And every time I went to try and, you know, intellectualize it or what have you, it always kept coming back to my mother was also the first nurturer, truly trying to nurture me, not just to feed me and help me grow up and survive in that physical sense, but that emotional and psychological sense of her role as both a teacher and as a mother. And I always have looked at teachers, I guess, through the same prism that I see my mother as my first teacher. And of course, that's can be a total bias. And I've always thought of teachers as being the salt of the earth. We don't go into this profession to make money. Most of us don't see this as a power position, so we're not going in to try and accumulate power and being able to use this power in whatever way in which we want to use it. No, that's not it. And so, again, when I talk about teachers, and I do criticize, it's a criticism that's basically aimed to get teachers to change. If I think that's the right word that I'm trying to say here, and that if you're not being the teacher within my vision of what a good teacher is, then I'm saying to you, change. Because that's what you're supposed to be. That's my ideal version of the teacher, the good teacher, the great teacher. Not just the dispenser of knowledge, but also a dispenser of warmth, caring, nurturing, and that is what a good teacher wants to do, as much as, if not more than, being the dispenser of knowledge or the transmitter of culture, as it is or has been, that sort of role that teachers play. So, if you got our promotion, you know that one of the things that, well, not one of the things, many things I want to talk about is teachers as professional leaders. And most importantly, for me, as warriors. Warriors not just for, oh, say, being a teacher, warriors to bring about the reforms or changes in the teaching profession that we feel that we need. Yes, but I'm talking about warriors in a much larger sense here, warriors for humanity. We move outside of our classroom and our school building to become warriors for the community, warriors for the state, the country, the world. And by that I mean helping make a better world in our individual lifetimes, contributing to that process of, but what I always say is that I want to make a contribution to a better world, one that's better than the world that I was born in my lifetime. That's my goal, that's my agenda for me, was to try and contribute to that. And I'm still trying. I've been trying forever. So that's what I mean when I say that professional leaders and warriors for humanity. And I ask the question, can teachers take the vital role of leaders, both of their profession, for children and for the larger humanity? And that's a question that I'm putting to you now. And again, I'm assuming that most of the War Report audience are teachers, the next parents. So I'm speaking to you in that regard. And more importantly, what the title of this show was originally was Dare the Teachers to Help Build a Better World. daring you. And when we were kids, I don't know about you, but when we were kids, there was a dare, then we double dare. That was a big one. Like, double dare you to do X, Y, Z. So in this show, or in this talk, I'm putting out that challenge. I'm saying that if you're not that kind of teacher now, or that been that kind of teacher, to become that kind of teacher, because we desperately need you. And also, the role of teacher in society as an educator, as well as, and this is where for some it may become tricky, it may become unacceptable, but to become social and political activists. Let me say that again. To become social and political activists, we have to become political because that's what is running our country. I talked earlier, when I said early, first year, second or third year, about the neoliberal agenda, which is predicated upon the political economy, taking those two major social institutions that are found in all society, the political institution and the economic institution, and sort of marrying those two to create the political economy, an economy that is so politicized, weaponized to support the political and vice versa, that this is what we have to take on and have to be aware of. We're taking on this animal to be the true activist. And also, you know, advocates for the type of education that we think should be dispensed in all of our schools, the kind of political, social equality that we should have, not only just in our city, our state, our country, but for the world. Maybe some type of, people may say it's an idealized version of reality that is impossible, but that's what I'm talking about, that we as teachers should have that vision and set as our mission to become something that our training in college didn't really encompass, us becoming social, political advocates, activists, not only for an idealized education system, structure, but also what's happening in the world and what should be happening in the world outside of our classroom. And so this is what, you know, we're here to talk about. And what I want to do is both inspire and encourage teachers to see their role as a vital role to be played in the welfare of society. And if ever there was a time for teachers to get what I'm saying, it's now and has been at least since 1980s into the 1990s, and then went on steroids with No Child Left Behind, 2002, and with Race to the Top, also known Race to the Bottom, in the 2008 era of Obama, and of course where we are now, that when the teachers was basically transformed. I wasn't teaching then, but the creativity, the spontaneity of a teacher seizing the moment to turn this into a learning moment was taken away. when we got scripted lesson plans. Today, you're going to teach this, and by the end of the day, you're going to be here, so that tomorrow, you will be teaching this, and the next day, the week, month, this whole school year. We got this one, the taking away of our what we were as teachers when the powers to be introduced VAM, value-added measures, and start assessing us based upon some rubric or algorithm that had no applicability to what we were doing, but defining us by that algorithm to the point where we started saying teachers and students are more than data points. We've been losing this battle of controlling our own profession, both in a large sense of the word and in a narrow sense. And so I'm saying today that we should become leaders. We should regain control of our classrooms, our schools, but then step outside of that and become leaders in the communities, leaders in the state, leaders in the country. And that's basically my whole message for today. With that, we can all go home now. Well, you're probably already home, but whatever. So let me get into it, what I'm talking about. Also, think of this particular show like the rest of the shows that you know we have accumulated over, what, 3.5 years here. Essentially, it's a call to action. Plain and simple. Not trying to hide it. When I say dare teachers to help build a better world, teachers as leaders. Because we're not going to get a better world under the current leadership, the historical leadership. We're not going to get a better world, and I'm using that to cover both teaching and your life as a teacher, your life outside of your classroom as a human being. We're not going to get that by accident, because the powers that be are definitely seeking to control this world that we live in, both now and in the future. So if we're going to get a better world, it will be as the result of deliberate action. And that's my call to teachers, to realize, and I know that word is loaded because that's what I'm saying, to realize, become aware that they can be more than just the dispensers of ABCs 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They can be more than the agents of socialization, which is aimed at reproducing the status quo. In order to be more than that, we have to become leaders. When I first started War Report in 2014, there was the cry for just let me teach. Just let me go into my room, close the door, and let me teach. I said then, and I've said consistently, those days are gone. If they were ever here, they are gone now. Those days will never return unless until we as teachers do something about bringing about change. I don't say reform, I'm saying bring about a change. And that will never happen again until we take a look at our role as teachers. What is our role as teachers? I mean, I've said it in the last 20 minutes pretty much. And I've said it last week and many, many weeks in the past. Basically, teachers are part education, the school, as a social institution, is an institution because there are patterns and practices in an organized fashion to achieve a certain function and goal. And the school as a social institution is basically a place where you take young people, children, you can take them from back in the early 20s, 1920s, and the late 1800s, 1900s, when, and I've used this example before, when immigrants from around the world came to this country, as well as the people who were already here from the late 1600s and what have you. And the notion was that, one, it was through education that we're going to make the immigrants as well as the natives to be what we feel they need to be in order to fit into the society that we have built and want to perpetuate. And going back to that period, I use the example of a funnel, an inverted funnel, where you poured all of these people from different backgrounds, speaking different languages, different cultures, this and this, that, and the other. And as they went through this funnel to the narrow end, they would come out, standardize Americans, whatever that was to mean at the time. And so that's what, and the teachers played major role in this standardization, just like standardized testing plays a major role in producing either teachers that are going to be good at preparing their kids to become little standardized widget test takers, or we get rid of them. And just like the kids who succeed in taking tests and doing, quote, well according to the test rubric, we pass them along. Those that don't, we get rid of them. And so that this is what the role of the teacher has been: an agent of socialization, which means protecting, perpetuating the status quo of the day. I don't know if you have seen yourself as that kind of that role that you played as a teacher, but in essence, that has always been the definition of a teacher by those who control the educational system, both financially and politically in terms of power, was that teachers would play this role not as a social change agent, but an agent that helps maintain and perpetuate the status quo. That's what we have been, and that's what we will continue to be, unless we, and I'm putting this on teachers now, become something different. And I am talking about what I call the new teacher for the 21st century. You know, just a term that I'm thinking and organizing my thoughts under that label. And I'm saying that the teacher of the 21st century will be a new social justice teacher. This is a person with a vision and a mission of becoming a teacher, either through their college training, their professional training in teacher prep programs, and et cetera, that recognize and promote a primary role of leadership development in their teacher education curriculum. And if you go to a school where you do not get that type of curriculum, then you have to put one together for yourself in order to make you that new social justice teacher and have that vision and that mission. Because you have to remember, an empowering of teachers to be leaders, we will be empowered ourselves to be leaders, but then we will have the ability to empower others, others in our communities, to become leaders. That's the kind of teacher that the power elite does not want in any way, shape, or form. And I've said this many times over the last 3.5 years, that one of the reasons that teachers have been targeted for this war, not just because the teachers' union and collectivity versus individualism, you know, the David and Goliath, big giant step on individual, big giant can't step on the collective. It was, in addition to that, and I think primary, was the fact that teachers could become this agent of social change, or what I guess commonly referred to as social justice teaching, being a social justice teacher. Because that teacher is empowered to say, this is wrong. Standardized testing, wrong. Common Core curriculum, wrong. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to subject my students to it. This teacher can go out and tell the parents, this is wrong because, and giving parents the information that they need to say, this is wrong. My child will not be subjected to this. And other parents, and forming a collective, a group, a power that can say to school boards, who can then say to state elected officials, and who can say to officials who are elected to go to Washington, no, and mean it, no, back it up, no, and change it, because they themselves are empowered, and they've empowered others. This new teacher, I'm saying new because I don't see a whole lot of teachers in this vein that has the vision and the mission. I see too many teachers not being in that mode. And I'll mention a little more about that in a few minutes. So I'm saying, because we don't have that kind of teacher across the board, that we need that kind of teacher for the 21st century and the situation that we find ourselves, or the circumstances that we find ourselves in now, and that it may be necessary to create, develop this new teacher. Because it's this new teacher with this vision and as their mission to play a role, a leadership role, in developing themselves as leaders, developing other teachers as leaders, developing the community, the adults as leaders, but more importantly, developing the students of this generation to become leaders 10 years, 20 years from now. This is what I believe the powers to be, the powers elite that I've talked about all this time, is the most fearful of. That 21st century teacher that I'm talking about poses a threat. I've talked about in the past an existential threat. That 21st century teacher is the existential threat that he or she will bring about such a powerful resistance that will be able to force a change. Not just for themselves as teachers and what's going to happen in that classroom and school, but force a change for the betterment of humanity. My writings, I talk about, and I've said this the first years quite extensively, what I'm talking about here is what I call a better world. And there are five principles to my better world. And that is a world where we are more humane, a world that is more just, a world that is more peaceful, a world that is sustainable in terms of the climate and the threat that the current world is posing to that, and a world that is more equitable. Those are the five principles that I came up with some time ago in my better world philosophy, my better world education, my better world university. There was a time, and I probably had never said this before, but there was a time when I first left teaching, I kept saying that I want to start my own university. I want to do it right. And those are my exact words. I want to do it right. I wanted to create a university where basically, and I don't want to get off into that because it's a whole different series. It would take me weeks to explain what I was thinking then and have been for the last, I don't know, 30 years, 30, maybe 40 years of my life, this better world philosophy. And the new social justice teacher comes out of my notion of a better world, and because that teacher will help bring about this better world and help protect it and help sustain it and help perpetuate it, not only for this century but for centuries to come if we still have a thing called planet Earth, given our current political war mentality and the possibility of a nuclear war. So to me, when I talk about it this way, this is what I mean when I say teacher appreciation. This is the highest appreciation that I think I can offer to teachers and anyone can offer to teachers, because I'm saying you are so critical in bringing about the better world that I just talked about sustaining that, perpetuating it. You are so critical, in my view, you're more critical than anyone else. Not the politicians for sure, not the billionaires, not the single voter. It's, to me, the teacher, this kind of teacher. This kind of teacher who I say, my unplugged teacher. Remember when we did the show on The Matrix and we talked about being plugged in? Those people who are plugged into The Matrix, who see the reality that The Matrix wants them to see, and they act according to it, and they don't have a clue that it's all image, it's all unreal. I'm talking about the teachers who unplug from the matrix. They stop being agents of the Machiavellian agenda. You remember the Machiavellian agenda, okay? And Machiavellian agenda boils down to the privatization of everyone and everything, humanity and the planet. You remember I've said that a million times in the last 3.5 years. My teacher, the new teacher, unplugs from that. My teacher, my educator, becomes a social change agent. My teacher becomes an agent for not the reproduction of the status quo, back to the Machiavellian agenda, but instead, my new teacher, and let me stop for a moment. I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that all teachers are agents of the Machiavellian agenda. No, I'm not saying that. I think a large number are and continue to be because of what I knew before I started the road trips back in 2015, but was confirmed everywhere I went. Teachers, as mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, are fearful. Because the system, in trying to roll out its agenda, anticipating potential resistance from teachers, have put in place the things that they feel they need in order to control teachers, and those teachers who won't be controlled, to get rid of. The teacher jails, the rubber rooms in Los Angeles, New York, and other places, suspension, the willy-nilly firing, and I was thinking last night, I don't remember whether that was 2014 or 2015, when a teacher, summer break, was in a supermarket wearing shorts, and a t-shirt or tank top or whatever it was, and I think it got put on Facebook, and next thing the teacher knew, she was being called into the school and saying that her dress was inappropriate. Summertime, and she on summer vacation, but this was inappropriate, and if she didn't make the necessary change, she could lose her job. This is what the system has done to protect itself. And what I was thinking about was that, and I'll make this comparison right quick. In professional sports, they have this thing called a moral clause in their contracts that basically make the athlete a very high-paid in some cases, super high paid slave. And I'm not the first one to say this in terms of the athletes. Because with this clause, the owners of the teams, the runners of the administrators of the league can say to a player not only how you must act, behave during the season, when you're on the field in a game or practice, during the season when you go home after practice or after game, we're talking about how you must act, behave according to our dictates 24/7, 365. In essence, we own you, dude. I don't care how much money you're making. Now in basketball, new contracts to the superstars are going to be over $210, $20 million over a five-year period. You can make in a lifetime damn near $1 billion. But they own you. You say something on Facebook, you go to a nightclub, you go do anything, and they'll say that was inappropriate under the moral clause. Hence, we're going to suspend you. Hence, we're going to boot you out the league. Teachers are in the same situation. Controlled by the power elite 24/7, now 365. If you say something that is challenging or threatening to the agenda, they can come after you. If you do something, they can come after you. For example, and you know this, you can't talk about the standardized test. You can't talk to parents about it. And you certainly cannot suggest or promote not taking the test. You can't do a lot of things that many teachers don't believe in and are forced to do them anyway. So that this is what I'm talking about in terms of teachers can't be leaders as the situation currently exists. Yes, there are teachers all across the country who have resisted this and have paid the price, resigning, leaving teaching in their prime, not going into teaching. Those who've been at the rubber room, teacher's jail, reassigned, suspended, you name it. All of these things have been done to teachers. And I can understand teachers of today being fearful and being compliant. Even knowing that it's wrong, but being compliant because I've got 10 years to retirement. I got 15 years to retirement. And I don't know if I can go out and get another job. If I lose my job, then I lose my house, I lose my benefits, and on and on and on. So I'm saying that we don't have enough teachers who will stand up and resist. We don't have enough teachers who will become individual leaders. We don't have enough teachers who will become people who go out and help develop leaders within the community. And I understand that. And also, teachers are not trained to be this type of leader in our current teacher ed prep programs at the universities and at the colleges, so that we don't have the new 21st century social justice teacher. What we do have is a lot of teachers potentially coming into the field who go to Relay, and we've talked about the Relay School of Teacher Prep. We've talked about the Teach for America teachers who, I hate calling them teachers, who definitely not there to show leadership in terms of resisting and preparing others to resist. We don't have that. And that's what my new teachers will. Now, some may, again, take serious objections to what I'm saying, that I'm not a conformist. I'm not afraid to stand up. And I can understand that, defending yourself in that regard. And me saying what I'm saying is not disparaging teachers. Not in any way, at least not intended to. And that what I'm trying to do is, in my call to action, I'm saying to teachers, this is what you have become. A vast number of our teachers, these are the circumstances that have forced you to become what you are doing, and many of you don't like hate, but you do it because you have to in order to survive. And I'm saying that in order to change, you have to unplug. You have to become a new teacher, a teacher that doesn't want to go into the classroom, close the door, and hope like hell he or she will make it through the day under the current regime or the reign of terror. It's a play on words, you know, the reign of errors, that book was. And so I'm saying that either in your lifetime as teacher, current teachers, you shed some of your fear and you shed the compliance and become more of a resistor, and that becoming a resistor, you basically become a threat, an existential threat to the system. And when you fully unplug, you become a real threat, but at the same time, you become probably the most powerful change agent that we have. A change agent that can transcend the impact of money that the powerful can bring, which brings me to another example here. You know, I'm from Los Angeles, and last Tuesday, at a school board election, millions of dollars were poured in. I think something like $10 million was poured in from individual organizations outside of the district, for sure, outside of the city of Los Angeles, outside of the state of California, to get two reformers, quote, they call reformers, to be put on the board, replacing one person who was not in the reformers camp, who was the board chair, and a person who was running for a vacant seat, to make sure that these people didn't get those seats, and instead to get their people in. And what I'm saying, they're the privatizers, they are the vouchers, you name it, people. And once again, they use what they have, their money. And I've said, I don't know how many times, we don't have money. But what we still have in this semi democratic Republican society, Republic, not Republican, Republic society, we still have the vote. And once again, money triumphs, win out over the vote. I don't know, because I'm not there now, what the teachers, I'm not saying the unions, I'm saying the individual teachers as leaders did to try and secure the vote for those candidates who are not reformers in the negative sense of that word. I do know from the past, the public has been apathetic. And this past week, I read an article that stated that, and this, I find this unbelievable, most of the public still don't know what a charter school is. They still don't know about the voucher program that DeVos wants to put in, and Milton Friedman back in the 50s started advocating for. Most of the public don't know. And one thing that we as teachers, as leaders, we can inform them. We can make them aware. Remember, this show is about creating awareness and all the way up to critical awareness, understanding, all the way up to critical understanding, emotional engagement, critically, mostly engaged. And those three sets the stage for individual and collective positive social action. That's what this new teacher for the 21st century would be all about. They will be out there paving, you know, pounding the pavement. They will be out there rallying, what have you. And I got so much more I'm going to say. And I didn't say at the top of this story, that this show, that there will be a part two the last week of the Teacher Appreciation Month. I'm going to tell you how I think we can create the next generation, or turn many of the current generation into teachers of the 21st century. I'm not just going to say this is the problem and not try and offer a potential solution for dealing with the problem. But just let me go back and say that I got a couple messages during the week from teachers who were saying that they were so damn tired of seeing women gathering in the millions across the country, across the world, protesting, demonstrating, demanding for what they were demanding, protesting for, and not seeing some of those same women, teachers, parents, protesting, demonstrating to save in public education. And I wrote back to say that, hey, this is what I've been talking about. I've been so frustrated, pissed off for decades that we don't have enough teachers and parents, teachers who are parents, out in the street, protesting, demonstrating, going on strike for public education, for their own children, and for their own jobs, and for the sake of humanity. But what we can see, Occupy, we can see whatever, climate change, we can see the people getting out in the streets, putting themselves in harm's way for those issues, but not for public education. What we're, you know, this show is all about. And say, our new teacher, our 21st teacher, would be the people who will get out there in the community, train people to become leaders, get the public aware, get the public to understand, get the public emotionally engaged, and then get the public to act individually, collectively, for positive social action or positive social justice. For those teachers who are frustrated, I share your frustration with us and others, and we'll talk about this more next week. Thank you for being here this week and listening to me. This wasn't a rant, folks. Although it may have sounded like a rant, but this is something that I've been working on since 2014, literally and figuratively. Dare the teachers help build a new, better world. I've been working on this since 2014 in terms of how to do it on this show. I've been working on it from how to do it myself my entire life. So, have a good Sunday. I made it through with my health being somewhat compromised, and thank you for being here. See you next week.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.